So I'm wondering where today are the people who like lists. Who are my list people? Do you like making lists? You got to have a list. You got a checklist. You got a shopping list. You got a grocery list. How many of you have a list to keep track of your lists to make sure that all of your lists are in the right place? All right. Some of you are going to, if you're a list person, you're gonna like today's sermon. If you're not a list sermon, you'll still like today's sermon because it comes from God's Word. But I wanted to make sure I was talking to the right people. So if you raised your hand and like a list, I'm going to be talking to you when we get to a certain part of this lesson today. But one of the songs that we sing is one of the simplest songs in our book, one of the simplest songs that we sing, and yet it has one of the most profound messages that we sing. You know the song. It's the song that says, God is so good. Simple song. The words are easy, and yet the message is profound. He's so good to me. And when we pick up our Bibles and we read through the Bible, if there is anything that the Bible just shouts out to us, it is about the goodness of our God. And so even in the Old Testament, especially sometimes we go through the Old Testament and we read Psalm 100 in verse 5, and it says, the Lord is good. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the Lord is good. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6 says that the Lord is abounding in goodness. Psalm 33 and verse 5, the Bible says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 106 and verse 1 says, oh, give thanks, for the Lord is good. Psalm 107 and verse 1 says, oh, give thanks, for He is good. Psalm 118 and verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Psalm 118 and verse 29 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Psalm 136 and verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. You know why? For He is good. Psalm 135 and verse 3 says, praise the Lord. You know why? For the Lord is good. You can't help but read through the Bible and find out something. God is so good. And when you start thinking about what makes God so good, what is it about God that is so good? What does He do that is so good? You won't be able to come to the end of that list. If you're a list person, you will not be able to come to the end of making that list. What makes Him so good? What does He do that is so good? And yet we look at us. Our theme for this year is being imitators of God. And what we want to talk about for at least this lesson in the month of August is being an imitator of God's goodness. Do you feel inadequate to be an imitator of God's goodness? And you think about just how good God is. We look at ourselves and we falter in our goodness. We fail in our goodness because of our sin, because of our weaknesses. We fail and we falter because of we're not as good as God. And yet you think about how good is God. God is inherently good. It's just within Him. God is infinitely good. God is eternally good. God is so good that His goodness never changes. He does not become more good or less good. He's always good. Somebody might say, yeah, well, you know, God doesn't know what I got to deal with. You know, if God was here and if He had to face the stuff that I have to face, if God had to deal with the people that I have to deal with and go through the stuff I have to go through, I don't know if God'd be so good after that, because that'd really put Him to the test. Do we remember? God did come to this earth. God did live among us. Jesus Christ came, and God in the flesh lived among us, And when Peter, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the passage that was read, when Peter was summarizing the life of Jesus, do you know what he said about Jesus? He went about doing good. You want a summary of the life of Jesus? He went about doing good. So this morning, as we talk about being imitators of God's goodness, what I want us to do is I want us to focus in on Jesus as God. Was Jesus good? When you think about Jesus on this earth, would you say that Jesus is a model of goodness for us? You know, we could talk about God and the goodness of God towards mankind and how we can imitate God, but as I thought about this week, I thought about what Jesus did, how Jesus lived, and how much a model of goodness it is for us. And so if you like lists today, we're just going to make a list. A long list. You won't, if you take notes, I thank God for you who take notes. You're my favorite people to preach to are the people who take notes. But you won't have time to write down everything we're going to put on the screen because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any one of these points. But I want you to think about Jesus and how good He was. And for every one of these, I want you to look at yourself. For every one of these, I want you to say, is that me? Do I imitate the goodness of God? Do I imitate the goodness of Jesus in what He's doing? Because every one of these is something that we can do in imitating the goodness of Jesus. We're going to put eight of them on a screen, and then we'll go to the next slide. But when you think about the goodness of Jesus, how is it described in the Bible? It started very early. Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus subjected Himself to His parents. Even though He was the Son of God, He still was obedient to His parents. You know why? Because He's good. Is that something that we emulate? Those children who are here today, do we imitate Jesus in subjecting ourselves to our parents and being obedient to our parents? But the most of what we read about Jesus is during His adult life. And we read about the fact that Jesus went about and found those people that I'm just calling them the less desirables. The folks that nobody really wanted to be around, Jesus spent time with the less desirables. Matthew chapter 9, He spent time with a tax collector. How often do you spend time with a tax collector? Jesus went and spent time with a tax collector, did it again in Luke chapter 19. Jesus spent time with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Jews didn't spend time with Samaritans. Jewish men didn't spend time with Samaritan women. Jesus spent time talking to a Samaritan woman. That's not somebody you spend time talking to. He spent time with the less desirables. There were those individuals in Jesus' day that would have been considered the outcasts. And what did Jesus do? He showed tender, loving compassion for them. Like that leper in Mark chapter 1. The leper who could not be among people, who couldn't be among society, and if he ever came up on somebody, he'd have to cover his mouth and shout out, unclean, unclean, so they knew he was a shepherd, and Jesus came over and touched him. Do we look out for those who are less desirable? Do we spend time with them? Do we show compassion towards those who are, maybe they're the outcast, they're not really the people that anybody wants to hang around? Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus in showing them tender, true compassion? Do we spend time as followers of Christ looking out for people that even when it's not convenient for us? Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was on His way to take care of Jairus' daughter, and He stopped what He was doing. He was in a hurry to get there because the young lady was dying. He's in a hurry to get there, but this woman comes up and touches the hem of His garment, and Jesus stops to talk to her. You know, sometimes people interrupt our days, and we let them know, you interrupted my day. How shameful, how inconsiderate of you. Jesus stopped what He was doing to show compassion to somebody. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus, stopping what we are doing sometimes to look out for somebody who needs attention? Jesus was somebody who went visiting. Jesus visited in Simon's home, was there visiting Simon and his wife and his mother-in-law. Do you go visiting to see people to encourage them? Jesus visited in Zacchaeus' home in Luke chapter 19. Jesus went about visiting. And in Matthew chapter 14, I don't have Matthew chapter 14 up here, in Matthew 14 beginning verse 23. But Jesus walked 3 or 4 miles in the middle of the night during a storm across water to go visit his disciples in a boat. That's pretty good, right? Do we imitate Jesus? Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus? Jesus ate meals with his brethren. He sat down and had a meal in Matthew 26 in the upper room with his friends. He prepared a meal for them in John chapter 21 on the seashore. He spent time eating with his brethren. He not only spent time eating with his brethren, he spent time eating with prospects for the gospel. Here were individuals who needed to hear the gospel. And so what did Jesus do? He went and sat down and had a meal with them. In fact, had a meal with them at times when that would not have been the acceptable thing to do. He sat down and had a meal, and he was chided for it, for having a meal with tax collectors and sinners. How dare you? In Luke chapter 7, he had a meal with a Pharisee. Pharisees were the ones who were always trying to test Jesus and to trick him and to get him to say or do things that he wouldn't normally do. He went and had, Luke chapter 7, dinner with a Pharisee who invited him over. Goodness of Jesus. He wants to go and talk to people who need the gospel, even have sit down and have a meal with them. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus? Jesus provided meals for individuals who needed something to eat. Now, you may not be able to feed 5,000 men plus women and children at one time, or 4,000 men plus women and children, as Jesus did in Matthew 14 and 15. But he also provided that meal on the seashore for 11 friends in John chapter 21. He prepared them breakfast. Jesus provided a meal when somebody needed a meal. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus in these ways? These are not hard ways to imitate the goodness of Jesus. Jesus spent time serving his brethren when his brethren should have been serving him. John chapter 13, when he gets down and washes his friend's feet, what should they have been doing? Washing his feet. Do you sometimes think people ought to be doing something for me and they're not doing anything for me? What did Jesus do in that situation? He got up and did something for somebody else. Not just serving those who should have been serving him, but serving people that he knew were going to do him wrong. He got down and washed Peter's feet, who was going to deny him within just hours. He got down and washed Judas's feet, who was going to betray him within just minutes. Do we see the goodness of Jesus? Could we do that? Jesus served these individuals. Jesus served others when he himself was hurting. Matthew chapter 14, we learn that Jesus got news that John the Baptist had been beheaded. His best friend, his forerunner, a relative of his, had been beheaded by Herod Antipas. The Bible says that Jesus tried to get away, but he couldn't. And he took that opportunity instead to feed the 5,000 men. Jesus was hurting over the loss of his friend, and what did he do? He took that opportunity to serve others, even though he inside had to be aching for what he was dealing with. Do we imitate Jesus in these ways? Do we find opportunities to serve others, even when perhaps we think they ought to be serving us? When you read about Jesus, you find Jesus helping individuals and not even wanting the credit for it in return. John chapter 5, he heals a lame man. And when they asked the lame man, who did this? He said, well, I don't know. John chapter 9, he heals the blind man. The blind man says, where is the man who healed you? Well, I don't know where he is. Yeah, if Jesus was one of these modern day healers, he would have been right. It was me. I did it. I was the one. You know, pay me your big bucks. But he helped people, sometimes without even looking for attention or credit. Is that something for us to think about in how we imitate Jesus? Jesus inconvenienced himself in order to help others. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 7, in verse 24, it specifically says that Jesus went to the area of Tyre and Sidon. Look at your Bible map. It is as far away from the land where all of the Jews would have been. It's up in Gentile land, up on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. He goes up into the land of Tyre and Sidon, Mark chapter 7, verse 24, specifically to go there. He went into a house, and the Bible says he went into that house in order that he might be hidden. He wanted to get away. And a Gentile lady who knew who he was came and talked to him about looking out for her daughter. And what did Jesus do? Did he kick the lady out of the house? Did he say, "Look, lady, I came all this way to get away from people. Would you leave me alone?" Nope. He inconvenienced himself in order to take care of her. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus? Jesus comforted, took care of his friends when they were in a time of distress. Matthew chapter 8, they're in the middle of the sea again, and during a storm, Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Have you ever had somebody, you were finally getting some good sleep, and they came and woke you up? Were they now your best friend? I mean, parents right now are smiling. Of all the people in the auditorium right now, parents know what we're talking about. You're finally getting some good sleep. Somebody comes and wakes you up. Do you just love them and say, "Oh, I love you. You're my favorite person. What can I do for you today? I want to serve you." No, you're like, "Get out of my face." They came and woke Jesus up from a sleep. And he had comfort on them. Took care of their needs. You see the goodness of Jesus just exuding out of his life. We read about Jesus defending individuals who were wrongly accused and criticized. In Luke chapter 7, while he's at that Simon the Pharisee's home, this sinful woman comes and washes his feet, and they start criticizing her and criticizing Jesus for letting her wash his feet. Jesus defends her. You fast forward and you read about Mary, Matthew chapter 26. Mary, Martha's sister, coming and washing his feet. And Judas just starts criticizing. "You're wasting all of that oil. It could have been sold and used for the poor." And Jesus defended her and said, "No, she's done what she could. She's preparing my body for burial." Do we imitate Jesus? Do we defend individuals who are wrongly accused? Or do we jump on board? You see, when it came to Jesus, when it came to talking about people behind their back, whenever Jesus talked about somebody behind their back, he spoke respectfully about them. In Matthew chapter 11, it's before John the Baptist dies, that's in chapter 14. Chapter 11, we read about John the Baptist who's in prison. He hasn't been put to death yet. He sends messengers to Jesus to say, "Are you really the Son of God, or should we be looking for somebody else? Are you kidding me? This is my best buddy. He's my forerunner. He should know better than this." This would be the time for him to say, "Man, that John, I knew I couldn't count on him. I knew when push came to shove, he'd give up on me. Man, he's such a weakling." If this was the opportunity, man, he could have done it. John's not even there. And what does he do when he's talking about John? Building him up. Among those born of women, nobody else like John. When we talk about people behind their backs, careful, do we imitate the goodness of Jesus and only say things that are proper and good about them? As you think about Jesus, when you try to imitate the goodness of Jesus and say, "Am I like him? Am I truly the one who is walking in his steps? Am I doing everything that I can, even to show concern and care about little children?" Did Jesus show care for little children? You know, his disciples tried to get the kids away from him. You know, they were kind of the bodyguards. Really? I mean, you need bodyguards to keep the kids away from you? I mean, that's who they're trying to keep away from him. But they're like, no, to the parents, keep these kids away from him. What did Jesus do? Jesus brings them up in his arms. He hugs them. He cares for them. He blesses them. Do we take care of kids? He helped parents with their children. Now, all of these verses, well, most of them, all of these verses are about Jesus raising children from the dead. I know you can't do that. All right? So I'm not saying you need to imitate raising kids from the dead. But Jesus had compassion for parents and helped them out with their children. Do we do that? Do we offer to babysit, to look, watch the kids so the parents can actually go out and have some peace and quiet? Or maybe they just want to go home and take a nap while we babysit their own children. Do we look out for children? Do we care for children? Do we care for their parents? Did Jesus care for his parents? John chapter 19, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And who is he looking out for? His mom. John chapter 19, verses 25, 26, and 27. When somebody should be solely focused on himself and his own needs, he's looking out for his mom, looking out for his family. Do we imitate Jesus? Speaking of family, Jesus controlled his temper. You think about the goodness of Jesus. You think about what Jesus faced. Would there have been moments, if you had walked in Jesus' shoes, would there have been moments that you would have struggled in controlling your temper? When Judas came and kissed him on the cheek, oh, buddy, if that had been you, if somebody had just betrayed you by kissing you, oh, would you have been able to control your temper? Be honest now. Would you have been able to hold yourself back from grabbing? He controlled his temper. When these men came and bound him like he was a criminal, he controlled his temper. When they nailed him to a cross, he controlled his temper. Goodness of Jesus is something we need to model. In controlling his temper, he controlled his tongue. Can you imagine people getting in your face? Are you really who you say you are? You say you're the Son of God. We don't think you're the Son of God. Could you control your tongue? Could you bite your tongue at that moment? When those people were walking by, Matthew chapter 7, these passers-by, the Bible says they're just wagging their heads and they're spouting out all of these accusations at him. When the religious leaders come and say, oh, well, he saved others. Let's see if he can save himself. Wouldn't you just like to say, I mean, you know, you've got some comebacks, don't you? I mean, you read through the Bible and you're like, Jesus, here, I'll share this one with you. You can use this, just let him have it. He controlled his tongue. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus? Sometimes we might be one who would return evil for good, but Jesus returned good for evil. Those soldiers, can you imagine? We're going to arrest Jesus. How big of an army do you need to go and arrest Jesus? The Bible says they come out, this army of men come out with swords and clubs. What are you going to do to Jesus with swords and clubs? Why do you need those? Oh, he's a seriously violent and temperamental man. We've got swords and clubs. And so they come out with swords and clubs. And you know what Peter does? Peter takes his own sword and he cuts off Malchus's ear. The servant of the high priest cuts off his ear. Now, if you had been Jesus, careful. If you had been Jesus, you'd be like, yep, you had that one coming, didn't you? You're on the wrong side of this fight, buddy. If you'd been on the right side of this fight, you'd still have an ear. What'd Jesus do? Bent down, picked up that bloody, dirty ear, cleaned it off, and perfectly attached it back, better than it was before. Do we return good for evil? We will if we want to imitate Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus forgave people. He's hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's hanging on the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Do we forgive people like Jesus forgave people? Jesus forgave and reconciled himself back to his friends. At the end of Mark chapter 14, the last 8 or 9, 10 verses of Mark chapter 14, Peter is vehemently denying, cursing and swearing, saying, I do not know the man. Luke tells us that this was happening within eyeshot of Jesus because Jesus looked at Peter after he denied him. Man, if that had been your friend, you'd be like, forget that. We were BFFs, but we're no longer anything, buddy. You're gone. You're out. You're out of my will. You're out. You know, we're done. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. One of my favorite expressions is when the angel tells the disciples, he says, or tells the women, go and tell, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And the angel says, go and tell the disciples, two words, go and tell the disciples and Peter. Oh, don't forget to tell Peter. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5, the Bible says Jesus appeared to Peter. John chapter 15, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Reconcile back. He didn't kick Peter out of the tribe. He said, I love you. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus? When you think about the life of Jesus and what Jesus did, are we ones like Jesus who will warn people who are going in the wrong direction? Warn them about spiritual dangers. Jesus did. He warned individuals in Mark chapter 9 about hell. He warned individuals in Mark chapter 10 about the danger of trusting in riches. He warned individuals in Matthew chapter 16 about following after false doctrines. He warned individuals in Matthew chapter 15 about following after man-made doctrines. He wanted them to know these things can cause you to lose your soul. Warning them. Jesus, the Bible says, spent time praying for people. In this prayer in John chapter 17, this is really the Lord's Prayer. I know sometimes we talk about Matthew 6 verses 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer because this is actually the Lord praying. He prays a 26-verse prayer. How many verses long are your prayers? I don't know. But he prayed a 26-verse long prayer. If you divided your prayers into verses, how many verses would be for you and how many verses would be for other people? Jesus prayed a 26-verse prayer. First five verses were about Him and God. The rest of the next 21 verses, for everybody else. He prayed more for other people than He prayed for Himself in John chapter 17. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus in praying for others? Do we help people to see the Bible? Do we point people to the Bible? How often do you read in the Bible where Jesus said to people, have you not read? They would come to Him and ask Him a question and He'd be like, have you not read? Pointing them back to the Bible. Pointing them to God. What's the greatest commandment? Greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. Pointing them to God. Pointing people to heaven. Talking to His disciples the night before He dies. And what does He say? I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you can be with me in heaven also. Pointing people to where they needed to go. Telling people what they needed to hear. It's easy to tell people what they want to hear. It's not always easy to tell people what they need to hear. Matthew 4 and verse 17, Jesus told them what they needed to hear, repent. That's not an easy thing to preach, but it's what He preached. He told people, you need to change. Matthew 7 and verse 21, He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, telling them what they needed to hear. That rich young ruler who comes to Him in Matthew chapter 19, he was great. He was religious. I've kept all of these commandments from my youth up, he told Jesus. And Jesus says, one thing you like. Jesus, he's doing great. He's got like 90% on the test, Jesus. He's got a passing grade. Let him go. One thing you lack. Close enough? No, not close enough. Here's one thing that you lack. And Jesus told him what it was, and the man left him because he wasn't willing to do it. But Jesus didn't change the one thing, telling him what he needed to hear. Jesus was determined to do the will of His Father in heaven. He said, my food, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me, John 4 and verse 34. He said, I always do those things that please Him, John 8 and verse 29. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus? Luke chapter 4, Bible tells us that Jesus made it His custom. He made it His priority. You know where He was every Sabbath? Jesus' custom and priority every Sabbath was to be there in the synagogue with God's people. Do we imitate the goodness of Jesus? Finally, if you want to summarize the life of Jesus, if you want to say, okay, here's the life of Jesus. Peter did it for us in Acts 10 and verse 38. He went about doing good. You could summarize it in this way. Everything Jesus did was for the good of others. Philippians chapter 2. Bible says in verse 3, let nothing, think about that word nothing, let nothing be done, not a single thing, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Think about your life. Is there anything that you do out of selfish ambition or conceit? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others equal with themselves. Is that what it says? Let each esteem others, you're close to where I am. One day you'll get where I am. No. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. Are you kidding me? What kind of person would ever live that kind of life? What does verse 5 say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Everything he did was for the good of others. He did not come to be served, Matthew 20 and verse 28. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The whole earth is full of the goodness of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Read about the life of Jesus, and you read about the perfect example of God who came, lived on this earth, put up with the stuff you put up with, dealt with people worse than the people you deal with, and he went about doing good. God, help us to be imitators of our Savior, to open this book and not just say, what would Jesus do? But open this book and say, what did Jesus do? And that's what I'm going to go and do so that I can be imitating his goodness. Where are you today? Have you been saved by Jesus? The Bible says he came and gave his life as a ransom for many so that we could be saved. Have you been saved by obeying him and what he says in the Bible? The Bible tells us that we need to have faith in Jesus, to believe that he really is the Son of God, that he wasn't just a good man who did good things, but that he died on that cross for my sins and your sins, that he was buried in that tomb, but he didn't stay dead. Anybody can die and stay dead. In fact, everybody dies and stays dead, but he was raised from the dead, never to die again and ascend into heaven. Do you believe that? Not a blind faith. Do you believe the evidence that proves that that happened? If you have that kind of faith, the Bible says, why would you want to live to serve yourself? Make up your mind to repent. Turn away from sin. Say, I don't want to do wrong anymore. I want to start doing what's right. I want to follow the path of Christ and do what he wants me to do and stop doing what I want to do. What I want to do is going to lead me to hell. What he wants me to do is going to lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me go and do that. Today you can make your mind up, that's what I want to do. And if you're ready to repent and turn away from sin today, you can do what they did in the New Testament. You can confess the faith that is in your heart, and you can be baptized into Christ. You can be immersed in water, immersed into Christ, so that at that moment, not before, so that at that moment, the blood of Jesus might wash away every sin you've ever committed. You know, before baptism, your sins separate you from God. Your sins are hiding his face from you, Isaiah 59. And yet, when I'm obedient to him and I'm immersed in water as a penitent believer, I am raised a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And now I'm one of his children. I'm a Christian. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. And he calls upon me to go and to walk that new life, serving him faithfully. Where are you today? Is that where you are? Are you a faithful Christian today? Some of you have known that you needed to be baptized, but you've been putting it off and putting it off. The verse up here in Acts 22 and verse 16 is when Ananias came to Saul and he said, "Why are you waiting?" And so I ask you the question today, if you've been waiting and you know you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, but you've just been holding back, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you need to come to Jesus, do it right now as together we stand and sing.